Broadcasting Network.
Welcome, folks, back to the program tonight, Tuesday night edition of our program on Studio B on Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you for joining us, finding us, locating us, and, of course, listening in to us. As this week, particularly, we've been zeroing in again on the anniversary now of the event that transformed America once again. And in many ways, and all in bad ways, unfortunately, and that was 9/11. The attacks on America of 9/11, I guess we were all, again, we were all able to identify with in terms of where we were when we heard about it and what we thought and the shock and awe that followed it and so on and so forth. And you know, we, of course, can never recover from that now, and we once again are continuing to do our part here in our little way to try to expose the incongruities and the nonsense, if nothing else, of the official government report on 9/11, which by doing that exposes the government itself and who controls this government. With me tonight is Jim Fetzer, who, as you know, has been on the program before, and he is a retired professor, college professor. He is one of the 9/11 truth seekers who is looking for answers. And, of course, he has his own websites, his own forums, and he's compiling his own materials now based on the last conference, which was held in Canada this past summer. So let me say good evening to you. Jim, are you there?
Good evening, Rick. It's a pleasure to be back on with you again.
It is. It is a pleasure here, likewise. Well, since the summer and since that time to today, I know not a whole lot has happened, but we are, I guess, from what I see in terms of the Internet and open discussion, people are putting out new video productions. And they are raising new questions and new factors about the event that actually, you know, most of us completely suspect who was involved in it. And we can disagree on the methodology of taking down the buildings and planning the attacks, but most of us don't disagree on who was responsible for them. So have you, in your studies, have you seen or heard anything that would give you pause to suggest that maybe we are closer now to finally showing Americans what happened on 9/11?
Well, there are two or three things I would mention, Rick, that I think fit that conception. One is that the architects and engineers have a new documentary entitled 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out. Mm-hmm. That was recently broadcast over PBS in Colorado.
Yeah,
and I understand the YouTube version has had over 300,000 hits already.
Mm-hmm.
I must say, I compliment Richard Gage and A&E 9/11. I have in the past been critical of them for overselling, over-marketing nanothermite and attributing to it feats it cannot accomplish. But they've scaled that back, and this is a wonderful production.
Well, it certainly is an advancement over what has happened in the media heretofore. That's a given. All right. Take a break. We'll come right back with Jim Fetzer and 9/11 Rick Adams Uncensored.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of bounds concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems, then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. For a long and healthy life, order today by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Order online at heartandbody.com. That's heartandbody.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
We're back now, folks, with James Fetzer. And, James, let me ask you this now. As far as this latest PBS documentary that was aired in the, I guess it was just in the Chicago or Colorado area, and I may be mistaken about that, but let me ask you, have you actually watched the entire thing, and what were you impressed most about it?
Well, I made a point of watching what had been broadcast by PBS in Colorado because I knew it was an edited version of the whole piece. But
yeah,
they used it because they were doing a promotion to raise funds for PBS, and I think it must have been very successful. What we have here is a very nice, easily accessible critique showing why the government's official account of what happened in New York City to the Twin Towers and to Building 7 is hopelessly inadequate and violates laws of science, including of physics and engineering.
Mm-hmm.
For example, they observed with regard to Building 7 that it came down in a complete, abrupt, and total collapse in about 6.5 seconds, which is approximately the speed of free fall. All the floors are coming down at the same time. When it's over, there's a stack of pancakes, debris, mostly the floors, equal to about 12% of the height of the original, which at 47 stories means it's about five and a half floors high. Now, if the Twin Towers had been destroyed the same way, there would have been a stack of pancakes or floors equal to 12% of 111, which would have been, say, around 13 floors. But in fact, both of those buildings were destroyed below ground level. If anyone wants to see what I'm talking about, if they go to my latest article, go to Veterans Today, Jim Fetzer, and my latest article is entitled 9/11 Truth Well Out, the Vancouver Hearings Won, and the featured photograph right at the top shows a lone observer looking at where a tower used to stand, and there's absolutely nothing there, Rick. I had this confirmed for me by an eyewitness, Father Frank Morales from St. Mark's Episcopal Church in the immediate vicinity, was a first responder. When I interviewed him on two different occasions, confirmed that those buildings had been destroyed below ground level. And while you don't observe it in the case of the destruction of Building 7, in the case of the Twin Towers, both of those buildings are blowing apart in every direction from the top down. All the floors remain stationary, Rick. They're being converted into millions of yards of cubic dust, and when it's over, as I have observed, there's no stack of pancakes at all, which means...
Now, would you say that that was an exclusivity, that the destruction took place exclusively from below, or was it in fact also, in addition to the subterranean detonations, that there were a number of detonations on the towers up all the way up to the top floor?
Well, the demolition of the towers proceeded from the top down. In fact, the best evidence we have, and from the hearings, there were multiple speakers who addressed this question of how the towers were destroyed, is that it was done by an elaborate arrangement of mini or micro nukes, which were directed upward so that you had them on, say, each 10 floors.
Right.
You could blow out the top 10 and then the next 10 and the next 10. And if you did one per second, then you could demolish or completely destroy a tower in about 11 seconds, which is approximately what NIST claimed had happened. There were explosions in the sub-basements. You're completely correct about that. Willie Rodriguez, for example, who was the senior custodian in the North Tower, reported an enormous explosion in the sub-basements, and how one of his co-workers had skin and flesh hanging from his body as a consequence. It destroyed a press that could apply 50,000 pounds of pressure, which is a fairly heavy piece of machinery. It didn't weigh 50,000 pounds, but could apply that much pressure. And it turns out that when Willie was here in Madison giving a talk afterwards, he and I had had dinner together, and he told me how he watched the basement fill up with water, which was when I realized that the reason or principal rationale for having those explosions was to drain the sprinkler systems of their water, since otherwise they could have extinguished the very modest fires that remained after the jet fuel burned up in those spectacular fireballs that only lasted 10 or 15 seconds.
Right. In addition to that, you see, your expertise, your field of study, as is the case with the architects and engineers, is to determine how, primarily, how these towers were brought down. Now, last night, of course, we spent a lot of time on who would gain, who was responsible for holding the leases, for bringing in their own private security teams to be able to engineer the destruction of the towers, who stood to gain, you know, and then we went through the whole question of what's next and what they are planning now and how, you know, gaulish they are, the Silversteins, the Lauders, the Lowrys, and on it goes. But what I like about our discussion tonight is that here we are, on this date, 11 years later, and we are still debating the how they did it, when the media have totally ignored every single aspect of all of these conferences, of position papers that were forwarded to them, videos, studies that were made debunking the official 9/11 story, which didn't even include all of this. In fact, it ignored all of the evidence, basically. So here the media, once again, are key to keeping the people in the dark and continuing to browbeat us into submission. You know, these never-ending wars, these continuing campaigns now against Iran, against Syria, and so on and so forth. So, I mean, it's pretty apparent that unless we can see who gained, and we can see how it was done, that it wasn't brought down by these planes, so-called, then we're not going to question the entire panoply of issues that followed from 9/11, you see? We'll just accept them blindly.
Yeah, I think there are two or three aspects of that, Rick. I have the belief that the members of Congress all took a solemn vow to not debate 9/11 because, you know, on the false belief that it would undermine national security, and that Bush and Cheney promoted that, which is why you don't hear any politicians addressing it, which is really despicable on their part, because we lost some 3,000 lives on 9/11, and nothing is more respectful than to discover how and why they died. A second reason, of course, is that the media is infiltrated by CIA operatives. In fact, William Colby remarked, the former director of the CIA, that the CIA owns everyone of any significance in the major media, just as Carl Bernstein had reported in an article in Rolling Stone in 1977 about the CIA and the media, how the agency's officials had boasted that their greatest successes had been with Time Life, the New York Times, and CBS. And as you well know, I mean, if you controlled those agencies at that period of time, you pretty much had a lock on the American news media.
Well, and then we know the families, the Jewish families that own those major enterprises in the media are tied in also with the CIA. They were tied in with the CIA when Kennedy was wiped out. So
well,
now we can see
that's true, and of course the movie industry as well. So you're making a nice point. Now, in addition, of course, there have been internal divisions, and I think the third reason I would offer is, while I'm complimenting A&E now, there are prominent members of that organization, in particular Stephen Jones and Kevin Ryan, who promoted what turns out to be the myth of explosive nanothermite, as though the discovery of some nanothermite chips in the dust was revealing of how the buildings were destroyed. I remember asking Steve in the lobby of the hotel in Los Angeles when Alex Jones held his American Scholars Conference on 9/11, for which I gave the keynote address, asking Steve whether he believed that nanothermite could do all the feats he was attributing to it, of pulverizing the concrete and decimating the steel, and he assured me it could, but I was very skeptical of that claim. And by the end of 2006, I was broadening the range of theories that scholars should consider, because I had profound doubts about what he was advocating. This led to a split between Steve and Kevin Ryan and me, and they went on to break away from scholars and to found Scholars for 9/11 Truth and Justice. But the fact of the matter is that my skepticism has been vindicated. I, a couple of years ago, joined a small research group, including T. Mark Hightower, who's a chemical engineer, who did research of the scientific literature and discovered that it's a law of material science that in order to destroy a material, an explosive must have a detonation velocity equal to or greater than the speed of sound in that material. Mm-hmm. The speed of sound in concrete, Rick, is 3,200 meters per second, and steel, 6,100 meters per second, but the highest detonation velocity ever attributed to nanothermite is only 895 meters per second, which means you can't get there from there. In fact, Mark and I published a couple of articles before the Toronto hearings were held about a year ago today, actually. One was entitled, "Has Nanothermite Been Oversold to the 9/11 Truth Community?" The other was entitled, "Is 9/11 Truth Based Upon a False Theory?" And nevertheless, Kevin Ryan disputed our discovery and wanted to claim on very ambiguous literature, which never specified the detonation velocities involved, that actually nanothermite could be explosive. But Rick, that's also true of toothpaste. If you combine nanothermite with an explosive, you can make it explosive. And if you combine toothpaste with an explosive, you can make it explosive. So I was very relieved when I watched this new documentary, which Richard Gage actually had revised. They re-edited it to drop the emphasis on explosive nanothermite, finally accepting the scientific result that it couldn't do what they were suggesting it could do.
Well, you see, there's some integrity there that does not exist in any of these government commissions who refuse to revise or revisit 9/11. That's for sure. All right, we'll come back to that discussion, Jim, in just 3 minutes. Stay with me. Rick Adams Uncensored.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
A healthy heart starts with Extendovite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendovite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendovite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendovite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The New World Order Thought Police are on the run because Rick Adams is back on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, we're back now with Jim Fetzer talking about the 9/11 debacle and how this tragedy unfolded, the nuts and bolts, scientifically, what makes sense, what doesn't. And I know, Jim, we just left off before the break. Talking about the fact that some people who heretofore did adhere strictly to nanothermite as the cause of the detonations and explosions have been willing to admit that that they need to adjust and they need to revise their understanding of these laws of science. You brought out some good explanations in the last 10 minutes or so here, and the thing that intrigues me, of course, is why it is that some people are so hesitant to accept the idea of small-scale nuclear tactical explosions that would rip the flesh, melt the flesh off of people, have these horrific effects. And just to not accept them. They wouldn't accept them. I know who some of them are, and you do too. Is it because they cannot admit that they believe something that quite honestly does not add up, or do they have an axe to grind? I mean, without even mentioning specific people, what do you think?
Well, I'm certainly willing to mention specific people, Rick. That's not a problem.
If you wish,
me.
Go ahead. You can.
Let me say that I'm not quite convinced that what happened in the sub-basements before the alleged plane hits were mini nukes, though I suppose it's possible they might have been. I mean, they were designed to drain the water system, the sprinkler system of water, so it couldn't extinguish the very modest fires that remained after those spectacular fireballs.
Well, to do maximum damage, yes.
Yeah. Because, you see, I mean, the fires, even NIST itself studied 236 samples of steel. It selected from the Twin Towers and discovered 233 had not been exposed to temperatures above 500 degrees Fahrenheit, which is the temperature of an ordinary office fire. In fact, we know, you know, historically that no steel structure high-rise has ever collapsed due to fire before 9/11 nor after 9/11. And, of course, if our analysis is correct, it didn't happen on 9/11 either. But, you know, the problem with this nanothermite business is that its capabilities were so exaggerated, Rick, by this group dominated by Steve Jones and Kevin Ryan, who proved to be particularly nasty in attacking those of us who expressed the least skepticism, which is, by the way, a very unscientific attitude. I mean, my PhD is in the history of science and the philosophy of science, right. And the history of science is replete with research groups in competition that manage, you know, try to solve scientific problems, and they don't characteristically resort to gross denigration of the members of the other team or those who are providing criticism of their efforts, which Kevin Ryan did. In fact, it got so bad that even when I was attacking a fellow named Robert Perry, who was trying to trivialize the 9/11 movement, I published an article critiquing Perry, and then Kevin Ryan published an article critiquing me. Well, that's about as manifest absurd as it can get. So I had to publish a piece entitled The Debate Over 9/11 Truth, Kevin Ryan versus Jim Fetzer, where I systematically dismembered the arguments he was using against me, which were based upon rumor, speculation, hearsay, didn't reflect my views at all, and included one where he grossly misunderstood a philosophical exchange I had with a fellow from Oxford by the name of Luciano Floridi, who was arguing that to qualify something as information, it had to be true. And to me, that was just a misconception because, you know, information doesn't come with little flags telling us whether it's true or false. We could hear the report or information that Osama bin Laden was responsible for 9/11, but that doesn't make it true. We could hear the report that Obama sent a team of SEALs into a Pakistani compound and killed Osama bin Laden, but that doesn't make it true. In fact, we actually know that Osama died on 15 December 2001, so that this business of killing him a second time was pure political theater. And as most everyone is well aware now, the SEALs who were involved in that, most of them were killed in a bizarre helicopter crash. Now, of course, we have, you know, the Department of Defense claiming it doesn't actually have the footage of the assault, even though we saw photographs purporting to be of the president, the vice president, the secretary of state watching this event as it unfolded, even though Leon Panetta said that for the first 20 or 25 minutes there was no coverage. So what were they watching on the TV screen? It was clearly...
Well, that's right. That's right.
It was
to top
it
off,
fake grip.
I happen to know one of the people indirectly who was a Navy SEAL himself, and it just so happened that he was a Navy SEAL in 1986 and 87, and guess which picture they used, including him. They used that picture from the 1980s as press propaganda to show that Osama bin Laden was killed a year or so ago. He was outraged.
That's fascinating.
Yeah,
and
I mean, they lied all the way around.
When Panetta said that there wasn't any coverage for the first 20 or 25 minutes, that blew it all because these raids only take about 5 minutes. So
what
you have now with this controversy in the newspapers over a SEAL purportedly writing a book about it where he confronted Osama and he claims to have killed him is all complete and total rubbish. I mean, the book, if it exists, is a work of fiction to begin with, and the idea of attacking him for reporting or revealing secrets is pure propaganda intended to bolster the idea that it was a bona fide legitimate attack.
Well, that's also part of this complex world of disinformation and agitprop. Yes, indeed. We'll come back, though, to science and 9/11 and more. Rick Adams, Uncensored. Jim Fetzer, my guest.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you concerned about fluoride, chlorine, parasites, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Dalton ceramic water filters have been made continuously since 1827 and are used by disaster relief organizations and in third world countries to supply safe drinking water. Not only do we offer gravity filter systems, but also under the sink and countertop systems. Our replacement filters can be used to upgrade your existing system. And, unlike some other filters on the market, Dalton filters do not have to be primed. For more information, call us at 800-696-1435, 800-696-1435, or order online at Dalton.com. That's Dalton.com.
I never thought I would experience what I have by being on the RNA drops. Since I started the drops, I've gotten married, started three businesses, and feel limitless. My name is Brandon, and I've always been a skeptic because one of my companies is an investment firm, so we look at the facts. I was presented a bottle of RNA drops without any documentation in 2010 and began taking them due to highly reliable sources and their recommendations, and things quickly progressed. My life seemed brighter, and then one day it happened. I was working in my office on a sunny morning, and my spiritual body did a 360-degree backflip and softly landed back in my chair. And that was the day it began. That was my bread of life. To view this patented product, go to freeRNANow.com. That's freeRNANow.com, and begin your ascension process. God bless.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. Herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com.
And folks, with Jim Fetzer, my guest, talking about 9/11 and science. And those of you on the line, we'll take some calls for Jim in a little while, but hang on there. Let's get a little bit more involved here. You know, Jim, I guess we could go back and forth and say, you know, we really can't say with a total degree of certainty all of the factors that went into bringing down the Twin Towers. But I think you and most of us, most reasonable researchers, people that can add two and two and get four, realize that planes could not have and did not have absolutely any impact on bringing down the Twin Towers, nor did they have particularly any impact on Building 7. Would we agree on that? Do you think most people of reasonable mind could accept that?
Well, it depends how much they know about it to realize how completely correct your statement is. For example, we know from Bureau of Transportation Statistics records that flights 11 and 77 were not even scheduled to fly that day. And from FAA registration data that the planes corresponding to flights 93 and 175 were not deregistered or formally taken out of service until 28 September 2005,
That's
which
amazing.
Raises the questions, you know, how could planes that weren't even in the air have crashed on 9/11? And how can planes that crashed on 9/11 have still been in the air 4 years
still
later?
Still been in service, yeah. It's amazing. These little contradictions, I say little jokingly, never seem to bother anybody in the media who is supposed to deal with investigating stories rather than covering them up. You see, this is what makes it so nerve-wracking, I think, for many people who listen to me and you on this program and say, it's enormous. This conspiracy, if you want to use that word, and it's legitimate, you can use it here, this conspiracy of silence, if nothing else, this conspiracy of omission is indeed an indication of how corrupt things are in government and media. And it it's just amazing.
You're absolutely right, Rick. I mean, it's compounded by the fact that we have an association of professional pilots called Pilots for 9/11 Truth that studied air ground communications and radar data and discovered that while Flight 93 was in the air that day, it was over Champaign, Urbana, Illinois after it had reportedly crashed in Shanksville. And that while Flight 175 was also in the air that day, it was over Harrisburg and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, long after it had allegedly disappeared into the South Tower. So we have just a tremendous amount of proof that none of the official crashes, none of the big Boeing crashes that the government claims took place occurred that day. None of them.
Mm-hmm. No, I fully understand, fully agree with you. Then, you know, the adjunct to this, the Twin Towers and what actually brought them down and caused these fires, of course, we know, and the fact that the government immediately treated it not as a crime scene, but quite the contrary, and intervened mightily to restrict any access to investigating the steel girders, the remains of the structure of the building, then had them shipped overseas. And on top of it, when Building 7 came into the picture, wasn't it Kaufman, I believe, Stephen Kaufman, who was one of the leaders of NIST and the investigation of the destruction of Building 7? Wasn't he the one that actually was saying that it was fire that brought down Building 7?
Well, it's absurd, you know, completely absurd. Building 7 was a particularly robust structure. It was erected over two enormous electrical generators providing electricity for lower Manhattan. It was designed to never collapse. In fact, they used solid steel beams in Building 7, Rick, even in the Twin Towers. They used steel beams that were hollowed out in the center, which provided nearly as much strength. But for Building 7, they used solid steel beams. It's impossible that fire could have caused the destruction of Building 7. We know from Barry Jennings, by the way, who is from the Emergency Management Unit in New York City, who went to Rudy Giuliani's Command and Control Center, which happened to be in Building 7. It was two floors with its own air and water supply. When he got up there, he discovered half-eaten sandwiches, coffee still steaming. A fireman came along and said, "We got to get you out of here." He heard repeated explosions while he was inside the building, and this is during the morning, Rick. A stairwell was blown out from under him at one point in the pitch blackness. He felt himself stepping over dead bodies. He couldn't see them, but he could feel them when he got out. He gave interviews with reporters, some of which you can still find on YouTube, other of which have been sanitized. And, of course, what happened to Building 7 wasn't even mentioned in the official 9/11 Commission report. When NIST finally got around to studying it, they were about to issue their report, and a couple days before that, Barry Jennings was found dead. Now, here was a guy who could have contradicted the official report about Building 7, which is a manifest absurdity, claiming that one key pillar had come out and brought the whole building down when it was a classic controlled demolition. Architects and engineers are very good on this, so I again recommend that explosive evidence with regard to Building 7. There's also a very nice short YouTube by Anthony Lawson entitled "This Is an Orange" that everyone should see if they haven't viewed it already.
Yeah, and then, you know, I mentioned last night with Dr. K, John O'Neill, who was tasked, you know, as an investigator of the Bin Laden, coincidentally enough, who was a former special agent of the FBI. This guy went to investigate Bin Laden and wound up, of course, dead the day before, I believe it was.
Yeah,
the
he,
day
retired,
before.
Yeah, he was hired as the head of security, and his first day at work was 9/11. I think it was a setup, actually, Rick. They brought him in there so they could kill him when the buildings were destroyed.
Oh, yeah, positively. I mean, he was assassinated. He was bumped off.
Yeah, this is a guy who knew too much, yeah, but a rather elaborate means for doing it, yes.
He could have spoken out immensely and said this thing is a hoax and we're being lied to. And
By the way, before some of your listeners leap out of their chairs, let me explain about the passengers in relation to the flights. I mean, if these were phantom flights, if these crashes didn't take place,
right,
and
I
the
know.
Passenger lists are made up of imaginary names, or if there's none of them can have died on crashes that didn't take place. So if anyone knows somebody who had a friend or loved one who died on 9/11, what they need to do is have the body exhumed and determine the cause of death. Now, we do, because it cannot have been from crashes that didn't take place. Now,
bodies, though, you know? What bodies were there in these cases?
Well, the fact is that actually there was a claim that Flight 93 had landed at the Cleveland airport, and the mayor, whose name was White, but it was a black, actually gave an interview to ABC News and explained how Flight 93 had come into the airport, taken to a distant hangar, and offloaded under great security. Now, assuming there were any passengers there, and the number he gave was close to 200, which is fairly stunning because each of these planes was only about one quarter full, Rick, which is remarkable all by itself. I mean, if anyone believes that United and American Airlines could remain profitable while doing transcontinental flights only one quarter full, they really, you know, need to rethink their investment strategies because this is simply absurd. But if they were killed in order to produce passengers, you know, as victims of the 9/11 crashes, which didn't even occur, and indeed we have reports that there were photographs of bodies who were victims of the crashes online until it was observed that these bodies were completely intact and that each of these four crashes were so violent that nobody could have remained in one piece. It would have all been blown apart. You'd have hands and arms and legs and body parts scattered all over the place at best. And at that point, those images, those photographs were taken down. So I say if anyone knows somebody who actually allegedly died on 9/11, they should undertake an exhumation, have an autopsy conducted, and challenge the government and the airlines to explain what happened to their friend or loved one, because I can guarantee you they did not die in plane crashes.
No, and they didn't die there in New York City on the ground or in buildings as well. You know, and it's interesting the decision of the Hellerstein Court. I don't know if you caught that last week, that the AMR Corporation of American Airlines and United Continental Holdings Incorporated must appear now in court to be tried over accusations that inattention on part of these companies contributed to the so-called terrorist attacks that left around 3,000 of us in America dead. So both American and United jets were supposedly hijacked by these terrorists on 9/11, who then supposedly piloted these planes into the Twin Towers and created this assault on America. So now, what is the judge saying here? Have you been following? Now, Hellerstein was involved. He was one of the two judges that was directly involved in this sham of the reparations and so forth.
Yeah, so what you're telling me is very surprising, and it sounds to me as though it's got to be a temporary charade. This is a pretense until after the election, when the case will somehow mysteriously be dismissed.
It sounds like it's timed with Obama. Yeah, the re-election of Obama. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, we know all these kinds of things. Elias Davidson, who is a European scholar, has shown the government has never been able to prove any of the hijackers were aboard any of the planes. Right. David Ray Griffin, building on the work of A.K. Dewdney, who's a professor of computer science at Western Ontario in Canada, has shown that all of the phone calls were faked. In fact, the most celebrated to Ted Olson, which he claimed came from his wife Barbara, where he said he got two different calls. He gave three different versions. Uh-huh. One was for using a cell phone, except cell phones wouldn't work at those altitudes and speeds. Then he claimed she used an airphone and a credit card, except that there were no airphones that were working in Boeing 757s in 2001. And even the FBI, Rick, has now confirmed that, in fact, there was no completed call from Barbara Olson to Ted Olson, which is all the more shocking.
That they did a while ago,
all the more shocking because Ted Olson was our Solicitor General, meaning he was the guy who represented the government before the Supreme Court. yeah. in cases, you know, being heard by our nation's highest tribunal.
Oh, yes.
But he's also a guy who has remarked when asked if he could imagine any circumstances under which the government was entitled to lie to the people. He said he could imagine infinitely many, meaning there's no end of occasions under which Ted Olson would agree it was permissible for the government to lie to the people, evidently including himself.
Yeah, yeah. You know, also, we haven't even scratched the surface of all of the additional ancillary aspects of 9/11, who profited, who stood to gain. But one of the other areas that we will continue to go through again in subsequent programs has to do with a major factor that I believe was part of the cause of them pulling 9/11, and that was these Zionist Jews, and that happened to be Enron, and that was S&P 500, the financial instruments at the time prior to 9/11. Okay, evidence of insider trading that took place before September 11th, and this was being done over a period of time, numerous times by some of them. And then we had, for instance, the Enron investigation, all of the files that were locked up there inside of the Twin Towers.
In Building 7, actually, Rick.
Well, Building 7, but also there were some in the towers, in the North and South Towers, that were actually scattered about, from what I understand.
I'm relatively convinced, by the way, that this is the reason why Building 7 was taken out. It was the Securities and Exchange that all these documents and records, you know. You have to have the original documents and records for court cases, and they were all conveniently destroyed in the demolition of that building, which I say was a physical impossibility, except that they were going about systematically dismantling it all morning when Mary Jennings was there, and of course then he winds up dead.
Yeah. No, it's true. We have too many loose ends here, too many impossibilities to be accidental, to be, the result of fire. And as you know, Silverstein himself was heard saying to bring that building down. Then he denied having said it. And he says, no, he didn't mean to physically bring it down with explosives or detonations or any kind of CD. No, he just meant that it was going to come down because the fires were exploding and causing enormous damage within. It was unstable and the structure would be coming down. That's all he meant. You know,
and that's such a preposterous. It's such a preposterous falsehood, and it's so easily proven false, you know, that the building couldn't possibly have come down from the modest fires in the building, as architects and engineers emphasize. He actually gave this interview with PBS, saying I was in contact with a fire. He says he actually verbally pauses and says with the fire commander, which suggests to me knew this guy under a different designation, and said to him there'd been so much death and devastation, perhaps the best thing to do is to pull it. And then he said they made the decision to pull, and we watched the building come down. That's a term in construction for bringing down by demolition. So, I mean, it could not have been more clear-cut, although apologists
I
for the government.
I think so.
You know, I've gone so far
as
to offer the absurd thesis that he was saying, pull the firemen out of the building, except there weren't any firemen in the building at that point.
At that point, there were none, no. It was preposterous, as you say. All right, we could go on and on and on, but not tonight. I want to take a couple of calls. However, at this point, would you be able to come back later in this week to continue our discussion?
Rick, it's possible I may be able to do that. Can we...
Yeah, we can put that off until you're sure of your schedule, and then all week long we will be talking to some extent.
You know, I think perhaps, actually, I notice on my schedule I actually have written down for Thursday returning.
Thursday is fine, because tomorrow night I will be continuing my own discussion and maybe bring in someone else as well. But
that's fine.
Thursday night would be excellent, yeah.
Let's do this.
Let me bring up a call right now for time's sake here. Jeff, I believe, is up first. Hello, Jeff. You're on the program. You're with Jim Fetzer.
Good evening, Rick. Good evening, I'm Dr. Fetzer. I'd just like to say that I think with 9/11, I think the evidence is quite clear. Building 7 is the key to open up the gate. Anything after that is kind of a rabbit hole. I have something to. I like to list names. And after 9/11, they had this department called Homeland Security, and Senator Joe Lieberman was the policy director David Hyman, Bureau of Counterterrorism, Daniel Benjamin, Secretary of Homeland Security, Janet Napolitano, Deputy of Undersecretary, Phil Redinger, Deputy Undersecretary for Science and Technology, which was a cover-up, Daniel Gerstein, Chief of Staff, Noah Krylov. The list goes on. They're all Jews, and they're all in the cover-up. Then after the war, then there was a war, you know, with Iraq. Then who was the most prominent warmongers and neocons that started the war? You have Paul Wolfowitz, Richard Perle, Elliot Abrams, Bill Kristol, Robert Kagan, David Wormser, Scooter Libby, Norman Poderis, John Poderis, James Schlesinger, Doug Zottheim, Douglas Feist, Mark Grossman. I mean, the list, there's a litany of people that you can name. I like to name names. I don't like the problem with the truth movement. They always have these elite globalists that people like to put some poltergeist that you can't wrap your head around. And I think,
some shadowy figure, yeah.
Just to offer a counterexample to your claim, in the wake of the Vancouver hearings, each of the participants who were sworn in by a panel of judges are submitting evidentiary documents, bringing, you know, to support indictments against specific individuals. I have one against five. Go to Veterans Today and you'll see I offer indictments of Philip Zelikow, Richard Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, George W. Bush, and a pilot by the name of Steve O'Brien.
All right. Thank you for your call, Jeff. We have to break and bring up another call when we return. Jim Fetzer, Rick Adams, Uncensored.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Keravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Keravim? Simple. Keravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to teravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Teravim, the best supplements on earth.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are, incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Get back at him with Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger, on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, we're back now, folks, in this hour with our guest Jim Fetzer, 9/11 Truth. And let me take one more call here from Barry in California. Hello, Barry. Welcome,
hey,
Barry.
How
good
you
evening.
Guys doing? Nice to hear from Jim again, and
yes.
I always enjoy when you have him on. I started
me too.
I started a new carpool. I work for a Marine base. I started 2 months ago. And the driver is very open to all of this. And he gave me a memory stick, a USB stick. And I put documents and audio shows like with you and Jim on it when you had your two-hour show and some videos.
Yes.
And what video do you recommend, Jim, that I, you know, for 9/11?
What video do you recommend? Well, there's a... if you go to Scholars for 9/11 Truth, you'll find several presentations that I have given or archived there. There's one entitled that I gave in Portland entitled, let's see, it's called False Flag Terrorism and the Global War on Terror, which you can also find online. But I have, you know, if you go to, there are two pieces where I gave in Seattle, which you may be able to find. It's a two-parter where I talk about the fabrication of all four of the flight, the crash sites on 9/11. And it's entitled, Were the 9/11 Crash Sites Faked? You should be able to find that online, too. I'd say the one for the global overview and the other about specifically about the crash sites are probably two very good ones for you to download.
What was exciting to me, he brought up Building 7. He said that Building 7 always puzzled him, and I said, yeah, it had nothing to do with the planes. It was later on in the day, and not only that, I told him that John Moore this morning on his show said that the jet fuel is equivalent to
kerosene.
That fuel?
Kerosene.
Yeah, kerosene. So there's no way. There's no freaking way that fuel brought that building down from those planes. And not only that, when the planes went in the building, wouldn't some of the wings go into the ground? I mean,
oh, very nice point. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, you know, in the South Tower, for example, what we see in the video is a plane that's intersecting with eight different floors. Each of those floors consists of a steel truss anchored at one end of the core columns, at the other to the external steel support columns filled with 4 to 8 inches of concrete. The building's 208 feet on the side. That means it's intersecting with eight different acres of concrete. Imagine how far a commercial carrier is going to go intersecting with eight different acres of concrete on a steel truss. The plane would have smashed up, its wings broken off, tail snapped off, body, seats, and luggage falling to the ground. The jet fuel would have burst into flame. Instead, what we see in the video is it completely disappearing its whole length into the building. There's no deceleration at all. It doesn't even slow down. And yet it doesn't come out the other side. If it's going in one side at over 500 miles an hour, it's 160 feet long and the building's only 208 feet wide. That means it's only got 48 feet more to go before it starts coming out the other side. How could it come to a screeching halt in that 48 feet? I made a calculation and it would have had to come to a complete halt from going 500 miles an hour in 1/56,000th of a second. It's preposterous.
Well, wait a minute now, Jim. Jim, isn't it possible that the pilot was still cognizant of what he was doing and he made a quick turnaround and tried to exit? Come on now, Jim.
I love
All
it,
right.
Rick.
Hey,
I love it.
Barry, we got to run, Barry. We're out of time. But, Jim, we will continue with you next Thursday night, this Thursday evening,
perfect,
on the program. And always a pleasure interviewing
you.
Mine
too, Rick. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Uh-huh. We will talk again Thursday night, God willing.
You
Folks,
got it.
I'll be back tomorrow night, hopefully, God willing, too, to continue our questions about 9/11, unanswered questions and facts. Rick Adams, so long. Good night.